Let's turn around, look at somebody and say, you're not half as Jesus. I thought you're my friend, but you're not of half as Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the songwriter tonight is in the page that I'm on, and struggle time. Tell somebody, struggle time. It's tough time. Hallelujah. But nobody knows all about your struggles but Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't care what they write it in the book. I know it's struggling time. Hallelujah. Glad to be here tonight, and I'm glad you're here. Because you're here and I'm here, then we all can talk to each other in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to turn our Bibles tonight to St. Mark chapter 1. Hallelujah. St. Mark chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 9. I start from verse 9 tonight because I want to prove a particular point that I'm going to be talking about. And tonight I want to talk to us about life in our desert. Life in the desert. St. Mark chapter 9 and 1 and verse 9 said, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came to Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw heaven parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven. This is what he was saying. You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Immediately, verse 12, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beast, and the angels came and ministered unto him. Let us pray. Father, in your name tonight, we approach your presence. We came empty tonight, Lord, need to be filled. So as we are broken before you, Lord, I pray you mend our vessels, Lord, that it might be filled. Father, I pray, help us to drink from our saucers when our cups is overflown. That leaving this place, our heart will be glad. We say it was good to be here. Lord, bless you. Shake a couple hands and then be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll bless the Lord tonight. Life in the desert. Life of a way, as in baseball, is said, throwing curveball at us. In the world of cricket, which I'm more familiar with, they would say he's bowling spin or googly. And these are some terms for some similarity with your curveball. They just sneak up on you when you're least expected. In life, one moment we are traveling the smooth road, and lo and behold, moment we find ourselves on the rough, unpaved surface, we ask ourselves, when and how did we ever get here? This is not what I was expecting. This is not where we were told we should go. This is not what we were told it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be easy. It was better when I was on the other side. The song say, if all were easy and all were good, where would be the cross? Where would be the crown? And another saint said, if there is no cross, there won't be any crown. Life has its way to lead us into places, and we come in contact with people that we least expect we would encounter. The scripture tells us that Jesus was led into the wilderness. Now, if we read in verse 9, it said that Jesus, after being baptized in the Jordan, verse 10 said, immediately come from the water, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. But if you go to the next verse, it tells you that the same spirit that was talking drove him into the wilderness, or led him into the wilderness, where he would be for 40 days among the wild beasts, in the open atmosphere, to be tempted by the devil. Why would somebody whom I love and I'm well pleased, and I thought this person is so beloved, that one would have thought he would have been taken into a place where he would be in a particular place of starvation to be tempted by the devil? It wouldn't seem like it is much love that is shown here. Because if I love you, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that I show love. And this doesn't seem like love to us. We found in Exodus 20, which we'll get there in a minute, that the children of Israel was taken, presumably from slavery, and they was led by God into a desert place. And into the wilderness, they were led to be tested. You find that further down in the scripture. But God also takes us into places in our life where we seems like we are being tested. We finally got a breakthrough in our life. God is really working for us. We have a fruitful crop, bountiful supply. Our ministry is flowing. Then out of nowhere, we're being slapped in the face. You turn around and someone sideswipe us. We are broadsided, and we wonder, what in the world has happened to us? Before we came to Christ, everything seems to be going okay. But now that we are taking up our cross and started to follow Christ, all hell broke loose. And everything that should be happening to the devil's children and followers is now happening to us. We wonder, where is God in this picture? Because this does not supposed to happen to someone who is following Christ or following the Lord. We receive a blow of our lifetime. We didn't expect it. It came from different sources of life. Some of us have been attacked by health, some wealth, some is family members, some friends and loved ones. We're being attacked in every end. And we wonder, who is the enemy here? And there begin our journey into a desert place. We look back in life when we were not, or when we were at the strongest point in our lives, when everything was going well. We had money in the bank. We had health. The sun is shining. We have good romances. We're wildly and madly in love. Now, all hell broke loose. And our health starts failing. It started to rain. No more sunshine. No more romances. We start arguing. And the well in our lives dried up. And we're wondering, where is God? During the smooth and easy time of our life, We didn't even stop to ask God for a daily blessing because we were helping ourselves. We were doing this, we were doing that, and we were going to places, and we had a season of plenty. So we forget to pray sometime, and we just get up and we're gone. I say, God, it's you this morning. Hi, how are you doing? And we're gone. We didn't get time to talk to him. But now we look back and say, boy, things was good then. Man, I wish I had somebody to put their arms around me. Relying on ourselves now, and things get meager. We can't find God. Now we're in a desert, no longer fed by surplus, but we are begging for raven to bring me, just bring me some meat. I wish I could find a brook where I can get some water for my thirst. And, you know, I look on the scenario. If you look back on the children of Israel, they go through 40 long years in the desert. And Jesus, the Bible said, went through 40 days. So whether it's 40 years or 40 days, if you're not going through your desert, you're approaching your desert. And some of us are coming out of our deserts, but we have a dry season ahead of us. We blame it on society. We blame it on the economic crisis around us. But God wants us to rely certainly on him. We start to call on the Lord. We ask for direction because the direction we get was not good. You know, this past weekend, we had an experience like that. You know, Pastor Kyle gave some folks direction to my house, and just one word he put in there which was wrong. And everybody was going all around trying to find a house, calling, where do we go? How do we get there? You know, just one word. And so it is, we tend to lack sense of direction when we're in the desert. And that's when we say we've got to find God because we need help. Before we started our journey, we had everything good. We pack our bag and we forget to pray before we left the house because we're going for a good trip. But as soon as things get out of control, why me, Lord? You didn't plan it. You ask God permission. We didn't consult with him before we take off to find out how many stops on the way. If you ever gotten to some of those places up north, you see crossing the bridge, they tell you there's a long bridge ahead of you. So make sure you top up with gas. Because once you get on that bridge and you run out of gas, you are on the mercy of whoever passes by. Stop, because there's no gas station up there. Go to the Keys, and there is that 7-mile bridge. And I tell you, you know, all is there is water. And the funny thing about it, you can't get to the water because it's way down there. So we got to make sure that we are topped up before we cross our bridge. But we didn't consult the Lord. We made bad choices, bad decisions. They didn't involve God. But we need a fix yesterday, today. We needed, so we start complaining, just like the children of Israel. Well, it was good in Egypt. Even though we cry to God and tell, get me out of here. We say, it was good in Egypt. There was no grave down here. And we got all the onions and what we could eat. And everything was okay. We were under Pharaoh's leadership. We got to where we're helpless. And sometimes God comes to us we start complaining that God don't love us, God forget us, God forsake us. How could God do this to us? He doesn't care. Where is he? And God is telling us, I'm right here. But you're doing everything by yourself, and you're getting everything done. You don't need me. So I got to get to a place where you are self-reliant, and you can't do it. You can't fix it. It's just like having a flat on the side of the road, and you don't even know where the spear is. You got to call for help. And so God wants us to be dependent on him. Let us know the source of our life is in him. And so we find ourselves in a desert place. And life goes on in a desert place. Oh, in the desert, it is dry, it is parched. Sometimes for years, no water, no rain. It's not because we have sinned, or it's not because we have done something wrong. It's not because he is mad at us. But he always have a purpose in mind when things happen to us. St. Mark chapter 9 said, Jesus was led into the wilderness. He was led by God in that desert for 40 long days. He being the Son of God make us no different. God lead us to places in our lives where the devil will have opportunity to make the better of us, to see how strong we are, what type of material we're built with, how strong we are, how rooted we are. And relentlessly, the devil will take advantage of that situation. But instead of blaming the others and passing on the who did this, who didn't do this, let's check our lives and see where we are in God. To see where is God in this big picture. What is he doing in my life? Why am I in a desert place? I call for help, and this is where I end up. We had no food. We were hungry. Some of us can testify to this. Yet he is with the wild animal, alone, isolated. Picture these circumstances. These are the time our emotion can go wild and crazy. That's when we start to think, has God abandoned us? Why in the world would God lead us to a dry desert place? Maybe to test us, we don't know. You remember back in school, teacher would give us subject matter to study. And come the same time every week, most likely Thursday, Friday, you're clearly a desk. Put your books aside and get your pen or your pencil ready. It's a test. You're being tested to see if what we've been taught, if we've learned anything from whatever we've been going through. And do you ever always notice when there's a test, everybody is quiet? No talking? You drop a pin and you could hear it. You put your fingers in your ears because it's so loud. Most of the time, the teacher is very silent when a test is going on. Maybe sometime the teacher is given a subject matter. We all talk. We don't even hear what he is saying. But come test time, you know, we're looking over here and see what's going on over here. What you're doing. And we want to know why it's so silent when we're going through the tests. But it is to let us know that there's something or someplace God talks to us. And he wants to find out if we were listening. So he put us up to the test to see what we've learned. Some of us go through the same routine every week, but at the same time, we were surprised when the teacher said, a test. We know that every Friday is going to be a test. But we are not prepared for the test comes Friday. You figure more or less sooner or later we'll catch on and say, well, there's going to be a test. I don't know where it's going to be coming from, but I'm going to be at least prepared for the test. So it was with life. We are never prepared. And many people, hurricanes coming. And everybody run to Home Depot, Walmart, Publix. And we stock up. And the next week, we short stuff, we give away stuff. And then the following week, hurricanes coming, back to the same place. And we say we're having it tough. It's only a test. But we still get caught off guard. In our desert experience, we cross Red Seas. Some of our Red Sea is different from the others. We travel through wilderness. We found ourselves without bread. We found ourselves without water. And when we do find something, it's not good. It's very bitter. Or the food is stale. Because we are in a desert place. God brought the children of Israel to where they were only reliant on God. Therefore, he find for them bread and he find for them water. Exodus 20 and verse 20, God told Moses to tell the people, do not fear. I've only come to test you, that the fear of God may be before you, that you may not sin. He lead us to where he can humble us. He lead us to where he can strengthen us. He lead us to where he can test us to see how strong we are in him. We sometimes don't know where God is when pain rock our body. We can't find God when the bills cannot be paid. We can't find God when it comes to sending our children to school. We throw our hands up and say, why me, Lord? As the song says, what have I ever done to deserve this? We find out many times that in our desert, who and what we really are, what we are made of, or strong a material they put in our foundation. It comes out during this time of experience how grumpy we are, how miserable we are, how selfish we are, how self-serving we are, how hateful we are, how spiteful we are, how revengeful we are, how jealous we are, and how fragile we are. God lead us into a desert. Some of us for 40 days. Many of us for 40 years. It's causing us to go through hardship. Allowing us to realize that man shall not live by bread alone. There we find out what really matters to us. What real love is. What our character is. What trust is? Will we be obedient when we can't see ahead? When we can't see God? When we can't make sense out of what's happening? When God doesn't seem to be working for us? When we're not getting the result that we have hoped for? And love is nowhere in the picture. And we start getting itty-tighty and you know, we start hate everything, everybody around us. We start kicking the furnitures. We start punching the throwing plates. We start doing everything crazy because we can't understand where we are in our circumstances. This is not what we were expected to get out of life. We said we were living for Christ. It's supposed to be paradise. But God wants us to know we need to trust him. Your circumstances are painful. Our needs aren't met. But we just need to trust God in our impossible situation. When there is no human resources to meet our needs, we just need to call upon the Lord. Scripture says, call upon him when he's near. And you call upon him when he can be found. Hallelujah. We talk about situation, who is at fault, who caused the problem. We point finger at our bosses, we say it's his fault. We blame it on our wives and our husbands. We blame it on our children. Someone never stopped to say, where is God in my desert place? Hallelujah. God most of the time creates circumstances and situation for us to know that it is nobody's fault. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but its principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in high places. It's a spirit. You know, my wife and I, we probably sit down and have tea together, and the devil said, man, that was going too good. And I went in the bedroom, she went in the kitchen, and we come back out, and it's two different people. And we wonder what has happened. A spirit just crept in, and we start to fight at each other. What we got to do is say, devil, I know it's you. You're a liar. I smell you. I know who you are. If you show your face back in here, I'm going to give you a black eye. But what we do, we beat up on one another. When it's all said and done, you just look and say, but what was it we were talking about? What drives us to be this type of people? It is not people. It's spirit. It's only a test. We're in a desert place. It's dry. It's parched. There's no moisture in the air. That's why we're going through what we're going through. God created these circumstances that we don't think it's somebody's fault. We don't blame the devil. The devil is nowhere around. But God is saying to us, trust me, I will see you through. It's only a test. You're in your desert place. Nothing will grow here. There's no water. It cannot grow here. Don't try to plant nothing. But we expect something to happen. Something to grow in the desert. We've got to go back to a moist ground. So God, you help me to go to my desert. It's only a test. This too will pass. God, I want you to be with me. I want you to strengthen me so I can trust you. In the desert, we have no crutches. We have nothing to lean on. God stripped us of every pride, self-sufficiency. We see ourselves for who we are, for what we really are. So we look back in the picture and said, man, is this all life is made of? Look ugly. Our pride wanted to keep us in a circumstance where we can manage everything. But God sent us in a desert place where we can't manage, where we can't do nothing. We are helpless. We can't make it on our own. The worst comes out of us. Then he humbles us. In the desert, we really find out what is really of great necessity. We are so wasteful. And we waste so many things. I was saying to a brother the other day, I said, so many people are starving while America is wasting. And we say we are going through a recession. But you see, if you see what we throw in the garbage each week, if you see what we dispose of, when somebody on the other side is saying, just give me your trash, give me your garbage, I'm hungry, feed me. But my desert is not your type of desert. My hardship is not your hardship. My struggle and your struggle is two different type of struggle. God wants us to be humble. God wants us to be where we can trust him. Life on this earth is not really perfect. Probably will never be perfect. Sometimes we imagine that we are in paradise. We're not here yet. We expect everything to be okay. I have a gentleman call me the other day. He told me, oh, Brother Walcott, you're not supposed to be sick. Yes, I'm supposed to be sick. I'm living on planet Earth. I've not yet gotten my glorious body. I'm still human. And not until this celestial body comes to me, I must feel pain. I must groan. I must suffer hardship. And I will be sick. But God is only letting me know that just like I can keep the fish fresh in salt water, I can keep you in your desert place. I can keep you in your struggle. Just look for me, I'm here. And even when you don't see me, when you don't feel me, that's where your faith comes in. Trust me, because I'm here. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. God is real. He gives strength. He gives grace. He gives energy to deal with your daily troubles. God is with us. Even when he's not responding in the way that we thought he should be, he's still with us. In a way, we look around to every side. Like Job said, I look to the east, I look to the west. Where is God to be found? But God is still near us. In our Egypt, just like Pharaoh oppressed God's children, we are being oppressed. Rely on God, rely on others. But God wants to strip us of our everyday supply so that he can supply our need according to his riches. We have too many wants. We lack nothing. But still we said, oh, God is good to us. If we're not struggling, we don't take time to pray sometimes the way we ought to. Everything is flowing good. But when we look back and see where we are in the desert place, how dried up our brook is, how painful our situation is, then we rely on God to take us through. Memories of our past life before we come to Christ, how luxurious and how flaunty and how surplus we have. We look back and said, what would it be like if we were still living those lives? Maybe we wouldn't be alive. Maybe we wouldn't be here because we were living life in the fast lane. We never know, or we will never know, that Christ is really all we need until he is all we have. And then when he is all that we have, we find out that Christ is really all that we needed. Hallelujah. We tend to rely on things and people that we see. But true faith is revealed when we don't see God, but we can still trust him. And that's when we stepped out in the blue and said, God, I don't know where I'm going today. I don't know what I'm going to be eating today. But you promised to send a raven with my daily bread. So I know I won't go to bed hungry. I know I won't be falling asleep thirsty, because God is sending a raven with a word. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9 tells us about Paul's hardship in Asia. He said, under great pressure, far beyond the ability to endure. But Paul also said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3 that we should endure hardship as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. So when you can't hear, when we can't see, when we don't know, when we can't see the outcome, and we feel like we are blind, and our night is dark, and our experience in our desert is to the maximum, with no end in sight, what do? We walk by faith. And that's where we find God. He'll come to us with more insight in our life than when we enter into our deserts. God wants us not to be independent, but God wants us to be dependent on Him. God wants us to be where He can see us, to know what we are doing this moment and the next. Not that God doesn't know what we are doing, but He wants us to walk before Him with single eyes. God wants us to be strengthened, to know that even in a desert place, God is there. Sometimes we're going through valleys. And sometimes valley can be a lonely place. Most of the time it is. And you know, back in the days, you know, when there was just a couple cars passing back and forth, now there are so many. But even though there are so many, you get stranded by the highway and so many people stop. And that tells you you're going through a valley. We're like waiting for the Good Samaritan to come along. We're wounded. We're struggling. We're gasping for breath. We wonder how soon the paramedic is going to get here. But God is telling you, I'm by your side. I'm with you. Hold on a little bit longer. Weeping endure for the night. But joy cometh. Joy cometh. I might be in my desert place, but I know it's going to rain. One day He's going to take me over on the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God promised us the Jordan, or the Canaan of our lives. It doesn't matter how long we are in a desert. 40 days, 40 years. He promised us a Canaan. And He's going to lead us there. Because He takes us from a place of sad despair. And He's taking us to a place of greater horizon. Our desert place is a place where we are alone with God. Old song said on the Jericho Road, there's room for just two, just Jesus and me. It's get lonely sometime. That's when He said, I am weak, but Lord, You're strong. He's always there. He's always there. Don't get angry in your desert place. Don't get mad. Don't let go. God is with you. You can't see him. Can't feel him. Can't hear him. But he's with you. He's with you. And he'll see you through. Somebody wants us to prove who God is. How do you know that God is existing? I'm reminded of a story of a mom who struggles to send her son to college, her only son. And she do her jobs and she cleans and do her chores to send him to college. One day he comes home and he said, "Mom, I hear you talking about God. But can you prove to me that there is a God?" Mom said, "I can't believe this is my son doubting God." And later that night, he went to bed. She went to bed. And early in the wee hours of the morning, she heard a groaning. And a good mother would do, she rushed to his room. And he was in great pain. Mom said, "What's wrong, son?" He said, "Mom, I have a toothache. And it is hurting. I'm in great pain." God speak to her mom. He said, "Son, can you see your toothache? Said, "No, mom." He said, "Can you touch your toothache?" Said, "No, mom." "So you know your toothache is there?" Said, "Because I feel it. It's hurting." Mom said, "Earlier on you told me that there's no God. But just like you're feeling your toothache, and you know it's there, that's how I know God is there. Because every now and then I feel him moving. And he's in a part of me. And I know he's here. And he's real. And God is real. So when you can't see him and you can't feel him, just trust him. Because God is there." Let us stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand everywhere. If you're not in a desert now, you will be at some point in your life. And it's worth to make a quick call to send a message ahead that I'm coming, because it is sure that you're going to be facing your desert. That's where we can be assured that Jesus is your shepherd, because he allows us not to be warned. He prepared a table before us. He'll anoint us, make us refresh daily. He'll cover us. He makes sure that we are secured. Why don't we thank God for our desert place? Thank him for the dry and thirsty soil that we're going through. Father, we can't see where we are in the desert and why we're here. Oh, we long for great relief, Lord. Oh, God, but you test us in the desert. You humble us, Lord. You manifest yourself to us in precious ways in the desert than we can ever imagine. So, Lord, we want to thank you for our deserts. We want to thank you, Lord, for the growth and how mature we become in our desert. Lord, we thank you for the strength that we gain in our desert. For the learning experience, Lord, in your desert. Lord, I pray that my brothers and my sisters, Lord, will be embraced by your arms of mercy and compassion. Give us vision, Lord. Give us hope, Lord. Oh God, to know your grace is sufficient to keep us. And your grace has brought us this far. And grace will lead us home. Thank you, Lord, for a desert. Jesus, these trials only come to make us strong. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Lord, don't let me bypass my desert. But God, I pray you lead us, Lord. God, I pray. Oh, in your name, Jesus. We experience your mercy and your grace, Lord. Lord, we be sustained, Lord. We be fed, Lord. Jesus, strengthen us, Lord. Embrace us in your love, Lord. Embrace us, Lord. Lord, you're a rock in our weary land. You're a shelter in a time of storm. So we pray tonight, Lord, for continued sustenance, Lord. For peace that passeth all understanding. Jesus. Jesus. We come to find you in our desert. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go with God on our mind. May his radiance and his brightness surround us. His peace sustain us. His arms of love and compassion may undergird us. Let us know we are not our own. We are bought with a price. God is with us in our dry and desert place.